Let's discuss Purim, and we would say we'll discuss Sudas Purim, having the meal on Purim just in general, and then how is it special this year, or is it different this year that it comes out on a Friday, which is a rarity in North America. We usually don't have Purim on Friday that often. So is there any difference? So in general, the minhag seems to be, we'll have to discuss why it is, that most people, or the common practice of a Purim meal is people have it late afternoon and it goes into nighttime. In fact, some people ask, are you allowed to finish during the day? I'm saying the real question is, are you allowed to finish at night? Of course you're allowed to finish during the day because that's Purim. So it's an interesting minhag that people start late afternoon and they go into the evening. So what's this minhag? Why don't we eat? Generally, we have a principle, Zrizin Makdimin LaMitzvah. You have a chance to do a mitzvah, you do it as early as possible. What, I don't mean you have to eat it at 7 a.m., but why are we waiting to half an hour before sunset? Or why, on a normal Purim, why don't we eat the meal at 1, 2 o'clock or whatever time it is? So the Trumas Hadeshin raises the question. He's one of the classical commentators on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, I have a suggestion, perhaps, why. He says, there's a Mishnah in Chulin. The Mishnah talks about there's a halacha, also the Espino, Rosh Hashchatu B'Yomecha. There's a halacha about not killing, and talking about an animal, not killing the mother and its child on the same day. It's a verse in the Bible. So generally speaking, if you sell the mother and the child, you don't have to tell the person that you sold the mother or the child because you have no reason to assume they're going to slaughter the animal today. It's a regular day. However, if you sell the animal on Erev Yontif, then there's a assumption that they're going to slaughter the animal so they can have food on Yontif. So Erev Yontif, you have to make an announcement telling whoever you sold it to, by the way, I sold the mother or the child, so they should know that that shouldn't be done on the same day. So either way, so however, the Mishnah gives a list of different days you have to make an announcement. It goes to Erev Pesach, the second days, etc. And basically, one day is conspicuous in its absence. Erev Sukkot. Erev Sukkot, the Mishnah doesn't mention anything about making an announcement before. So Tosis is bothered. How come Erev Sukkot, you don't have to make an announcement about that? Aren't both people going to slaughter the animal on the same day in violation? So Tosis answers, no. Erev Sukkot, we don't have to worry. You know why? Because Erev Sukkot is the busiest day of the year. Everyone's busy getting the Dalet, the four species, building the sukkah, preparing for Sukkot. So we don't have to worry. They're not going to have time to start slaughtering the animal on Erev Sukkot. But the point being is that we see on Erev Sukkot, the point being is that when people are busy getting ready for Yontif, so things get pushed off. So the Trumas Hadeshin says perhaps the same concept here, that we are so busy, Purim, we have to do Megillah reading, we have to do Shalach Manas, we have to do Matanas Lev Yonah, we got to prepare for all these things. Until you get settled, it's the afternoon already. It's already 3, 4, 5 o'clock. Until you finally finish all the other mitzvahs, you don't want to eat the meal and then in the middle, you want to have the meal barafchus when you have time. So you suggest maybe because people are so busy the whole day involved in the mitzvahs on Purim, maybe that's why the minhag developed that we wait until late afternoon. That's what he suggests as a pragmatic answer. Theologically, there's no reason you shouldn't have the meal start and finish on Purim, because it's a Purim meal. But the reason for the custom of starting on Purim and going into the night, that's his practical suggestion, that everyone's busy the whole morning, afternoon, until you get around, you got to make the food, everything, so it's late afternoon already. That's one possibility. Others suggest a more theological, philosophical reason, more b'derach machshava, that the halacha is, as we mentioned last time, or I should say we mentioned the Gemara. The Gemara says, what happened on Har Sinai? Vayitzyatzvu betachtis ahar. They tilted the mound over the head and said, if you accept the Torah, good. If not, we're going to kill you. And then, so of course, they took it. And we know something under the duress isn't really a good, isn't really binding. So what did they do? So on Purim, they accepted the Torah biava beratzon. They accepted out of love. So we said Purim is, as we pointed out, as the Medrash Tanchuma pointed out, how do we reconcile? On one hand, it says Nasa v'nishma, the Jews said we'll accept the Torah, we volunteer. And this Gemara says they were four. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Torah shebiksav, the written law, they said Nasa v'nishma, but the oral law, they had to be forced to be taken. And then on Purim, they accepted the oral law Baal Peh, Baratzon, and free will. So Purim's a time of Torah Shabbat Peh. So what does it have to do with starting the meal during the day and finishing it at night? So the commentators explain this because we have another halacha, which today is not as much because we have lights, we have texts, but there is a minig, according to some, that they used to try to learn Torah Shebiksav during the day, the written law during the day, and the oral law at night. That was a custom somehow, you know, based on different sources. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky pointed out it makes a lot of sense because the written law you have to see, so you need to be light outside before electricity. So it may, if you're looking at a text, it has to be, you need light. But oral law was literally oral. There was no text of the Gemara. Everything was oral. That's how we explain. So either way, so that's how they explain here. That during the daytime represents Torah Shebiksav, written Torah, because that's what you study during the day. And the oral law you study at night. So what happened on Matan Torah? So originally it was forced. It was Torah, only Torah Shebiksav was accepted biava, so that's the daytime. But we want to show Purim as the transformation from not only accepting Nasa v'nishma and the Torah Shebiksav, but Nasa v'nishma and the Torah Shebaal Peh. And how do we do that? By having the meal go into the night. Nighttime represents the oral law. So we show the connection between Purim, the Jewish people, accepting the Torah out of love, and therefore we have the meal at night. So either way, that's the custom many have during a regular Purim. However, that's a big problem, perhaps, this year. When Purim's on Friday, it's hard, it's a problem. You can't do it because it runs right into Shabbos. So we'll see, I will give you an Eitzah. There is something to discuss, but before we get to that, I'll tell you, so what the Rama brings down to the poskim say, because we have a general issue. Generally on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, there are limitations of what we're supposed to eat. So really, according to some, it's best not to have meat on Friday, period. I don't mean taste, to'amer chayim zochu, there's a mitzvah to taste your food to make sure it's good. But really having a meat meal on Friday on a regular day is an issue. You know, people recommend you shouldn't have meat. That's one issue. And also having, even not having meat, but having a suda gedola, having a big meal, we're concerned it's going to take away from your appetite for Shabbos. So in general, we're concerned about covered Shabbos, not to have meat during the day. The assumption is you can have meat on Shabbos Friday night, and not to have such a big meal late afternoon, because it's going to affect your appetite. So there are general halachas. But on Purim, but the halacha is you're allowed to have meat. Let's say some people, when they make a bris milah, it's a sudas mitzvah, they have meat. That's Rav Herschel Schechter's shita, not his shita, you know, Rabbi Macholl with the shita. But different, some people are strict to have meat at a bris because it's a sudas mitzvah. Others say, that's true, but since usually a bris is happening at 7 a.m. in the morning, So it's not really a tainug to have, for many people don't like having meat at 7 a.m., 7:30 in the morning. So therefore it's appropriate to have bagel. Therefore you could be the bagel and lox Jew and have the bagel and cream cheese, which is the minhag olam, but there are those people who hold even a bris. So some give you an option. They'll have meat and they'll serve you parv. They'll give you the fake cream cheese because they're gonna, if there's meat there, they can't put the regular cream cheese out. So either way, so the luck is if you have a bris meal, even though normally you don't have meat on Friday, but if you have a bris meal on Friday, you're allowed to have meat. And therefore, those who participate, in fact, but even the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shlaz Rebbe that even, he said, even as long, if you have 10 people eating meat, he didn't want to have meat. But either way, it's for a Sudas Mitzvah, you could have meat on Friday. So too for Purim as well, that you could have meat on Friday. Some say that Rav Soloveitchik, when Purim fell out on Friday, he used to be yotzei his Purim Suda with a tuna fish sandwich. But either way, so that's not the general. So the general custom, even though it's Friday, we have meat. So the question is, when's the ideal time of having the meal this Friday? So the ideal time is you should start the meal before Chatzos. I think Chatzos, let me go check, I think it's around 12:30-ish. Let me see, let me go to my times. And I think Rabbi Green sending out with times, but if not, I have... Either way, whatever the exact times, I mean, we could find out the exact times. We could look it up when the exact times are. But you have to finish. So ideally, one should begin the meal before Chatzos. So let's assume it's around. I don't know, it could be 12:30. So I think I plan on starting my meal around 12. And then you could go past Chatzos, but you know, but if that's too early for people that are busy with the Shalach Banas, I know people are busy if they can't leave their homes, but if you're busy, whatever, so then some say you have until Samoch Mincha Ketana. You have let's say around 3 o'clock-ish, before, you could also start your meal. Ideally, before Chatzos, but if you can't do it then, you could still do it in the early part of the afternoon. Of course, if it's 4 o'clock and you haven't had your Purim meal, you should do it then. So the ideal is before Chatzos. If not, you could do it up until like Mincha Katani, around 3 o'clock-ish. And then if not, you still could have it after, but you have to be careful you don't ruin your Suda Shabbos. Which leads us to Minhag Yerushalayim. See, not this year, because in Yerushalayim, Purim is on Shabbos. So I'm talking about, you know, well, they actually do it, it's what they call Purim Mishuash Yerushalayim. They call it a 3-day Purim this year. Originally, Henry was going to make it for the third day of Purim, but now he got delayed to the following week, so he's not going to make it for Purim. But in Yerushalayim, they'll be celebrating Purim for 3 days. Let me just, in general...
So we're not eating until the following week.
I know, that's what I said. Originally, you were coming back on... You're going to come in on the third day of Purim, but now that's changed, and you're going to miss it, yeah. So they point out...
I have no crisis anymore.
Exactly. So therefore, let me just point out that everywhere outside of Jerusalem, we celebrate Purim on the 14th, which is Friday. Jerusalem is the 15th, so it's on a Shabbos. So why do they split it into 3 ways? So why not do everything on Shabbos? So the Gemara says you can't do Kriyas HaMegillah on Shabbos. Why can't we do Kriyas HaMegillah on Shabbos? We read Kriyas HaTorah every Shabbos. Why can't we read Kriyas HaMegillah? So the Gemara gives different reasons. One reason given is because we're afraid a person is going to go carry the Megillah. He's going to go to a bucky and he's going to carry a Megillah and I want him to teach him how to learn how to read the Megillah. We're afraid it's going to lead to desecration of the Shabbos. How come we're not afraid every Shabbos? That then, how, in other words, what's the difference? Why by Kriyas HaMegillah we say no Megillah on Shabbos, yet every Shabbos we say we can read from the Torah? So the answer is, based on the Vilna Gaon and others, that there's a big difference between the two, because Kriyas, the Torah we read every week, is what we call a Choves HaTzibur. It's not a personal obligation, it's a communal obligation. Hence, anyone, it's not an obligation on Jeff or Henry. If you don't come to shul, you're not obligated. In other words, it's on the tzibur. Whoever's in shul, you know, the tzibur gets together, we're obligated to read Kriyas HaTorah. But if you if you're personally not in shul, then the simple fact you don't have to make it up. Like you weren't in shul. As we know, people when everyone missed, maybe it's a different child if the shul's not reading. But the bottom line is you don't really have to make it up. But by Megillah reading, it's a personal obligation. So therefore, what concerned is, see, you're not worried because we know this about Korah. You're not going to worry about who's going to take care of their Torah reading. You don't have to. But by Megillah, you have a personal obligation to read it. I hear it, read it. So we're afraid you're going to take the Megillah, go to a Baal Kori and he'll teach you how to do it. Either way, we don't do Megillah on Shabbos. That's one of the reasons. So let's do it on Sunday then. Why do it on Friday? Why not on Sunday? Because the first Mishnah of Megillah says, Megillah is read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tesvav. We only do it today on Yud Dalet and Tesvav. In other words, back in the day, the villagers came in and we read it early, but the pasuk says Lo Yavor Ksiv. So we have a special pasuk. We can't read Megillah Esther past the 15th. So if we wait until Sunday, it'll be the 16th, and we can't read it on Shabbos. That gives us no option but to read it on Friday. Hence, they're going to be reading the Megillah. Therefore, they're going to be reading it on Friday with us, but there's a big difference between the two. Because the halacha is that if you're reading Megillah on the proper day of Purim, then you don't need a minyan. You can read it by yourself. But if you're reading it Shalom Bizmana, if you're reading it on a different day, let's say the villagers came in and they needed a minyan, it wasn't their day, then you need 10 people. So not that it's a problem, but in Yerushalayim, that means if you're reading Megillah, you got to do it Bitzibra then, because it's unless you want to argue it is Bizmana, because that's the Takana the rabbi said. One could debate the issue whether in Yerushalayim reading on Friday is considered Bizmana or not. But if you assume it's not Bizmana, so then maybe you need 10 for the Megillah reading. So either way, we read it on Friday. Everyone's reading it on Friday. And what else are they doing on Friday in Jerusalem besides Megillah reading? They're going to be doing Matanas Levyonim. They're going to be doing gifts to the poor. That Megillah reading and Matanas Levyonim always go together. How do we know? Because the Gemara gives another reason. You know why we don't read Megillah on Shabbos? Because the poor people are waiting all year round. They're waiting for the gift. They know that's their big day. They win the lotto once a year. They get the Matanas Rav Yonim. Imagine coming to shul. Sorry, Shabbos, I don't have any money. The rabbis were so sensitive to the needs of the poor that they said, you're right, we can't read the Megillah on Shabbos. We're going to read it on Friday. So Matanas Rav Yonim always goes with Megillah reading. That's going to happen on Friday in Jerusalem. On Shabbos, what do they do? Well, they're going to read Al Hanis. They're going to say Al Hanisim. And I assume they're going to read Vayavo Amoet. They're going to read the Kriyas HaTorah for Purim because it's Purim day. What about the Suda? What about the meal? So one would have thought you should eat the meal on Shabbos. And some say you do. But the Yerushalmi says you can't eat the meal on Shabbos. Why? Because it wouldn't be recognizable you're eating a Sudas Purim, because I'm having a big meal anyway. How do I know? The fact it's Purim, it looks like I'm not having a Purim meal. In fact, that's what the Shach writes. That's why if for Pidyon HaBen, if the day 31 falls out on Shabbos, we don't have it on Shabbos because we wouldn't know it's a Suda, because it'd be overwhelmed by Shabbos. So the Yushami says we have to wait until Sunday to have the Suda. So it's a debate whether you have the meal on Shabbos or Sunday. So people go L'chumra, they have meals on both days. So basically, on Friday in Jerusalem, Megillah reading and gifts to the poor. On Shabbos, they do Al Hanisim in davening, read the Kriyas HaTorah about Amalek. And some have a Suda, you have some extra food on Shabbos besides the regular. And then on Sunday, they do a Suda with Shalach Manas. Since Shalach Manas is connected to the meal, Shalach Manas is always on the day of the meal. That's this three-day split in Jerusalem. So the question is, so that's this year. So I'm not talking about this year, but the Minig in Yerushalayim, see, when we have Purim on Thursday, they have Purim on Friday. So the Minig in Jerusalem, when their actual Purim, the Shushan Purim falls on Friday, not this year, they're having the meal on Shabbos. You can't have the meal at night anyway. The meal has to be on Shabbos or Sunday. So what they do is they daven mincha late afternoon. They start the meal on Purim, Friday afternoon, and then they go right into Shabbos. They go the minig Yerushalayim when they have Shushan, not this year, but when we have Purim on Thursday and they have the Purim on Friday, what they do is they start the meal late in the day. They daven mincha, have the meal. And also what they want to accomplish is, and they go right into, because what's the problem? You're not supposed to have a big meal or a meat meal on Friday before Shabbos. What they do is they make it into a Shabbos meal. It becomes one big combined meal. It's what the Gemara calls Pores Mapa Umakadesh. The Gemara talks about, not Purim, the Gemara talks about if someone's eating a meal Friday afternoon and they wake up, wow, it's Shabbos. So what should you do? Cover up the food and make Kiddush. And then you could go back and you continue your meal. So the Minig Yerushalayim is when Purim falls out on Friday, the 15th, that's what they do. They start the meal late afternoon, like they do every Purim. And then they cover up, make Kiddush, and they keep on going. I guess they have to work out when they daven Ma'ariv, or that kind, or the technical details. But actually, someone has suggested that's what some people should do this year here in America. Some suggest that maybe this year we should be Poris Mapo Makadesh. You should start the meal late afternoon and go right into Shabbos. In other words, stop when it comes Shabbos, you make Kiddush, you know, exactly when you do Kabbalah Shabbos, Ma'ariv, you work out the details. Either some people stay at the meal, you go daven, whatever the details are, but some say maybe you should do that this year. However, most assume that's only a bidyeved. Like, Poris Mapa, if it happens, you do it, but to go ahead and put yourself in this situation, I don't think it's not the minig in America. I don't know many people who do it. But it's a very interesting way of doing things. In fact, it's a good trivia question I'll ask. And now you know the answer, maybe. It's a unique Kiddush. When you do Poris Mapa U Makadesh, so if Purim, you did this, let's say Friday afternoon, you started the meal, went right into Shabbos, you'd have a special Kiddush that you never make. What do you do? How is the Kiddush different if you do Poreis Mapo Makadesh? So the difference is, how do we normally make Kiddush? We say Vayichulu, Borei Pri Hagafen, and then Makadesh HaShabbos. If you did Poreis Mapo Makadesh, you'd say Vayichulu, skip Borei Pri Hagafen, and go to Mekbuah, because the assumption is the Purim meal, you already made a Boer Pri HaGafen, you've been drinking wine Friday afternoon, so there's no need to make another Boer Pri HaGafen. So it'd be interesting, it's a good trivia, when could you make a Kiddush and not have Boer Pri HaGafen? And I mean, and not have a moat, and not have bread either. When could you tell, when are you supposed to skip Boer Pri HaGafen in Kiddush? The answer is when you do Poris Mapa Umekadesh. The question is, so what about Hamotzi? And in Lechem Mishnah, do you make Hamotzi? Do I say this like you don't make Boer Pri HaGafen? I'm having bread. So I already had bread. Do I have to make a new Hamotzi? So it's actually, by wine, everyone agrees, no Boer Pri HaGafen. By Hamotzi, it's a machlokes, whether you have to make a new Hamotzi. The bottom line is, Suffolk Brachos Lahaka, you would not make Hamotzi either. But what's the reason to make a distinction, according to those opinions, why would you say, no Boer Pri HaGafen, but yes, Hamotzi? And the answer is as follows. The Rush says, because you don't have to make a Boer Pri HaGafen because there's never a moment where you can't drink wine. I'm allowed to drink wine. And what's stopping me from drinking wine? Kiddush. So Kiddush, that is wine. So there's never a moment where I can't make, where I can't drink wine. But Hamotzi, but once Shkia comes or whatever time comes, I'm obligated to make Kiddush. At that moment, I can't eat bread now until I make Kiddush. By wine, there is never that moment. There's never a moment where I can't drink wine. So if I can never drink wine, so therefore I don't need to make a new bracha. But, you know, the bottom line is you wouldn't make Hamotzi either. So it also gets into Al Hanisim. Do you have to, you know, it's very complicated. Hence, the post can assume that is the minhag Yerushalayim, but that's not the minhag America. Most assume, you know, one should not choose that method. So in terms of the preference is to eat, start the meal before chatzos. If you're not ready by then, you should start the meal before, you know, Samach Mincha Katani, around 3 o'clock, you should do it before. And if you can't, then do it after, but make sure you don't eat too much and then ruin your Onig Shabbos. Again, there is a approach that most are against. They say about Purim, I guess if it does happen to you, if you're in the middle of your Purim meal and Shabbos comes, then I guess that's what you would do then. You'd cover up the food, you'd say Vayichulu, you'd skip Boer Pri HaGafen, you'd make Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then also you would not have to make another Hamotzi as well, and then you continue your meal, and then I would guess you should make an Al HaNisim. Some say, but if you're making Kiddush, that shows it's not the Purim meal. I don't know, because really we assume you go Basar HaSchola, you go by the beginning of the meal. So I would think you'd make Al HaNisim, but therefore, since it's a major debate, that's why it's best to avoid the issue of Poris Mapa Umekadesh. Yeah. Yeah. I'm listening. Questions, yeah?